And amen. Hallelujah. Aren't we blessed? Like I said, I'm fired up about this series. Y'all know what we're teaching on, how to be led by the Spirit of God. Did you get my slick text yesterday? That's what that company's called, slick text, you know. And in that text, I said that you can actually in life be led by God. It is actually a possibility. I've done it. I do it. I know people that have done it and do it. And the Bible says that the blessing of the Lord, or the blessing of doing it God's way, that's being led by God, leads to richness. Amen. Amen, it's true. Any area of your life that you're struggling in, that you're frustrated in, that feels like there's a mountain in front of you, that feels like you're constantly spinning your tires, God has the answer to that. Every single thing. And the Bible says if you'll just do it God's way, it'll lead to richness. Amen. Won't lead to frustration. Won't lead to turmoil. Won't lead to tragedy. Won't lead to sorrow and all this frustration that people go through. No, He wants to lead you. Amen. Well, that's what we're trying to teach and try to help you with. So go with me to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Of course, this is what I like to call our golden text for this series. As you're turning, we're going to go ahead and pray and believe God for utterance. Paul said this, "Pray for me that I may speak with boldness and utterance." Why? We need utterance from Him. We want said what He wants said. But sometimes what He wants said is not easy for the preacher to say it, because it can step on people's toes. It can be a little bold. So you want to pray because you want what God has to say. You don't want me to back down. You want me to say it, praise God. So thank you for praying. We're believing for boldness and utterance. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we are so grateful and so thankful for all that You have done, all that You have given to us, Lord. You are so good to us. Thank You for the Holy Ghost, the guide, the comforter, the standby, the advocate. We thank You for Him. Now, Lord, as we learn and are teaching these things, I pray that hearts would be open, the eyes of people's understanding would be enlightened. And Father, I pray that we would realize and get a grasp on what You're trying to get over to us, Father, for there's a life to be lived that many Christians have yet to walk into. There is a life to be lived that many Christians will never experience because they don't ever make a turn from doing things their way to doing things Your way. But I pray that that would be different for this group of people. That we would get a revelation, that we would get an understanding, that we would get an insight of what's available to us. And Father, we'll give You the praise for it. Thank You for hitting bullseyes this morning. You're going to say things to us like You always do that are exactly what we need to hear, specific and pertinent to our life. And Father, that's not because I'm awesome. That's because You're awesome. Now, Father, I might say those things that might make me look good, but You just make me look good, Father. You're the good one. You're the one that's amazing. You're the one that we praise. You're the one that we exalt. You're the one that we magnify. Father, I just want to be the mailman today. Lord, you send the packages, I'll just deliver them. So, Father, thank You for our help this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. We always keep our eyes on Him. Amen? Amen. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, your own ways, your own thinking, your own thoughts." Verse 6, "In all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct your paths." And I've told you this is God's invitation for you. That in every area of life that I just explained before we prayed, of the hard times, the hard places, the stuck places, the frustrating places, the unknown places, the places of question, this is God's invitation to you saying, if you'll trust me with your heart and not lean on your own way of doing it, if you'll actually acknowledge me in all your ways, I will direct your paths. And we told you that you want God directing your paths. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, I'm going to go through this review real quick. Can we pull that up in the Amplified, Heather? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Hallelujah. "For we are God's own workmanship, own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew that we may do those good works which God predestined or planned beforehand for us." Notice this, "taking paths which He prepared." What's He saying? I want you on my path. That's why He said in Proverbs 3, "I'll guide and direct you." Where will He guide and direct you? On His paths. That what? He planned, prepared before, ahead of time. We'll finish the rest of that verse. It says that we should walk in them. That's what you should do. Doesn't mean that you will. But God is saying, if you're smart, you should walk in my path. Amen? Why? Because on His path is where you can live the good life, hallelujah, which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. He said, you should take my path. You should do it my way. Remember the story of me walking in the woods with Abby, you know, she's little. Briars and prickers and sticks and mud and holes and things that, you know, a little, when she's three years old, 4 years old, and thing even now at five, you know. I think the last time I took her in the woods, I came back and said, I'm not taking her anymore. So I'm done. She ruined the whole thing for me, you know, I'm just joking. But when she's real little, you know, you say, you know, Abby, you should just stay right behind Daddy. I'll clear the way for you. You know, in certain parts you get in thickness in the woods, and she's just off doing her own thing, you know, getting off into the briars, getting prickers in her face, getting prickers in her arms, falling down, getting her nice new clothes muddy and crying. And she, I mean, she's the one that had to tend to her, bring her back. What happened to you? Didn't stay in Daddy's path. Daddy don't look like this. Daddy don't have this on him. Didn't stay in Daddy's path. Well, that's what God wants for His people. Why do people have bruises all over them in life and turmoil in life and constantly in the mud in life, constantly stuck in life? They're off over here and God says, my path's this way. Either He said, I'll direct your paths onto the prearranged good and ready for you, or He lied, and He's not a liar. Praise His name. But we said we have to follow His rules. Romans 8 and 14 tells us what His rules are. Again, this is just fast review. You can go on the sermon last week and review if you weren't here or didn't hear it. For as many as are led. Well, that's what He said. I want to direct. I want to guide. I want to lead you. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So the Bible tells us exactly how God's going to lead us. You might say, sign me up, Pastor Mike, for the good life. Sign me up for the abundant life. Sign me up for the life where He said, I'll teach you how to prosper. Sign me up for the life where He said, I'll teach you to I'll put favor, your steps are ordered. What's that I'll lead you by the still waters, the green pastures. So sign me up for that, Pastor Mike, okay? Well, you have to learn how to do it. Cooperate with Him. I want to, Lord tells us exactly what to do, gives us the instruction, now it's our job to follow it. He says, I'll lead you into those paths, into that prosperity, into that abundant life, into that peace, into that favor, by the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God. Amen? And we saw, we won't turn there for time's sake, but we saw in John chapter 14 and verse 16 that the Bible says when we receive Jesus, the Spirit of God comes into us, and the Bible says that He dwells with us and shall be in us. And then we saw over there in chapter 16, of John chapter 16, that the Bible says that the Holy Ghost will hear from heaven. Hear what? Things that we need to know. Things that we need to be shown. Things that need questions that need to be answered, hard places to get us out of, things we've been stuck in for years. He said the Holy Ghost will hear from heaven because, see, God sits on a perched view. God sits on a bird's eye view. See, when you're lost in the woods, from God's view, you're not lost. From God's view, He just says, hey, why don't you just turn right and walk about 500 yards, you'll be in a field or by a road. But we're in the middle of the woods, like, where am I? I'm lost. Well, you're not in a perched view. So His view, He sees everything you need. So when you learn to follow the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost checks in with heaven, gets the answer, gets the results, gets the blessing, gets the whatever it is you need. And the Bible says then He speaks. He doesn't speak on His own behalf. He speaks whatsoever He hears. Well, He hears from heaven and then speaks and communicates it to our spirit. That's why Proverbs 20:27 says, our spirit is like the candle of the Lord. God uses our spirit to guide us. How? By having the Holy Ghost relay the information to our spirit. Then we do what the Spirit of God says, and we walk into those prearranged, made ready for us, good paths. Hallelujah. Oh, the treasure that's on the inside. The Bible says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have God in us. Wow, that changes things, doesn't it? That changes things. We have God on the inside of us. And we saw that we are a three-part being, right? That we have a spirit. And the Holy Ghost talks to our spirit. But we also saw that we have a mind and a will and emotions. And we also saw that the spirit of man is housed in a body, or like what I call an earth suit. And we saw that God didn't say for as many as are led by their mind. For as many as are led by their flesh or their emotions are the sons of God. No. He said, for as many as are led by the Spirit. So we're a three-part being, aren't we? We are a spirit. That's who we are. Now, we might look like flesh, but the flesh decays and passes away. The spirit lives on forever. The Bible says the outward man will perish, But the inward man will be renewed day by day, or grow stronger day by day. The inward man doesn't get old and fade away. The inward man lives on forever. That's who we really are. That's how God communicates with us. That's how God tells us what we need to know, by the Holy Ghost. But we have a mind and we have a body, and the Bible tells us that both of those things are going to try to lead us. Our own thoughts. And we saw the Word said, your thoughts are not His thoughts. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the ways that it ends are of death, destruction. Doesn't work out. He said, don't be led by the flesh, but put your flesh under. Buffet your flesh. Crucify your flesh. Why? Your flesh, the Bible says, is actually in Galatians 5, 16, 17, called lusteth, or wars against the Spirit. The emotions, the flesh of a man, the feelings of a man are actually in a battle with the very thing that's trying to guide and direct us. So we don't want to be led by that. And we saw, didn't we? Again, we're not going nowhere, because you can go there back on the message last week and look these up. We saw the tale of two men last week, Abraham and Lot. God would say something to Abraham, and Abraham, no matter what it looked like, no matter what it felt like, no matter how comfortable or uncomfortable it was, Abraham said, if that's the path you have, Lord, that's the path I'm going on. Which the Bible says we should walk in those paths. Why? It's the prearranged good, made ready for us, the good life, the abundant life, the prosperous life, the favorable life. But then we saw Lot. Lot had a choice to make, didn't he? He came to a Y in the road, and he had a choice to make. God loved Lot just as much as he loved Abraham. And we saw when God would lead Abraham, he only led him into good things. Abraham always was led into blessing. Abraham lived a blessed life. So Lot had a choice. Well, Proverbs 3 and verse 5 and 6 applied to Lot just as much as it did Abraham. But he didn't trust in the Lord with all his heart, lean not his own understanding. He didn't acknowledge God in all his ways. No. The Bible says Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of the Jordan. It was well watered, which is good to a farmer. It was good land. And he said it was almost like as good as the Garden of Eden. That's how good it was. So he looked, and the paycheck started talking to him. Easiness started talking to him. Comfort started talking to him. And he never once, the Bible says, asked God if that was the place to go. He made the decisions based on his flesh and based on his mind. And the whole time, that was? That was a present wrapped so pretty. Sodom and Gomorrah was a present wrapped so pretty, with a nice big bow and decorations and glitter and all sorts of fancy nice stuff, with dynamite on the inside of it. And the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, would have told him not to go there had he talked to God. God certainly would have said, go there. And the Bible says he chose for himself. Well, welcome to the land of 2019 Christianity. People choosing for themselves, doing things their own way, and then wondering, why is it hard? This stuff never works for me. Yeah, because you're not working it right. If you think because your situation, listen, God allowed them to wander aimlessly for 40 years. A lot of Christians say, well, it's been long enough. When's it going to change? When you change, it'll change. The truth. And people just keep doing the same things over and over again, not consulting God. Lord, what's your take on my money? What about my kids? What's your take on going to church? What's your take on having a pastor? What's your take in serving? What's your take in being faithful? Nah, I'm just going to do what I feel. Do what I want in life. Okay, Lot. Didn't end up well for Lot, did it? No, Lot went down there, got kidnapped. Lot went down there, lost his wife. Lot went down there, and terrible things happened to him and his family. One decision. Shouldn't have been that way. Now, we did say this to balance it out. If you could say to yourself, Pastor Mike, man, up to this point in my life, I've not followed God. I've done things my own way. And I don't know if it's the devil or I don't know if it's me that screwed things up. Who cares? Repent and say, Lord, I'm going your way now. You still got a whole life left to live. You might as well live it blessed. Instead of sitting there and thinking, man, 20 years I wasted, 10 years I wasted, 30 years I wasted, all this went by. No. What about just starting right now and saying, you know what? The best days of the rest of my life are yet ahead of me. That's what it'll be like following Him. God's not going to say, no, you screwed up for too long, it's over for you. No. His mercies are new every morning. Amen. He said, as far as the east is from the west. I don't know which way is east, I don't know which way is west, but I'm just pointing. He said, as far as the east is from the west, He said, so far will I remove your transgressions or the wrong things that you've done. He said, I'll get rid of them. I'll get rid of them. God is urging you and imploring you this morning to say, stop doing it your way, child. You know, Abby, the whole time we walk on the property at home, you know, maybe say we're walking for an hour. Let's say for 45 minutes, she's off in the briars and getting cut up and stuff. How many of you know, there's still, for 45 minutes of an hour walk, if there's still 15 minutes left, it's to her benefit to stop doing it her way, get in Daddy's path, and at least the last 15 minutes will be good. Amen? We got years and years and years if Jesus tarries. I don't plan on going anywhere, do you? He said, with long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. People say, well, you just never know. No, I do know. Psalm 91 verse 16 says, with long life, I'll satisfy you and show you my salvation. So guess what? That's a promise from God I'm taking hold of. I got a lot to do down here. Now, if Jesus comes back and takes us, so be it. Bring it on, Jesus, come on. But if he doesn't, we got a life to live. We got a lot of years left. I don't want to live them off of the briars. I don't want to live them stuck in the mud. I don't want to live them frustrated, spinning my wheels, wondering why it's not working out. Man, get rid of and forget about all the failures and all the past mistakes and start fresh today. That's why I pray that today will be the beginning of the best days of the rest of your life. To try to drill it into your head, it don't matter how you walked in here. It matters how you walk out of here. Amen. It's the truth. It's the truth, praise God. And so I want to go forward today and help you learn, how can we actually do this? How can we actually learn to follow God? Because you do have to learn it. It's something that just doesn't come natural. Well, we saw with Lot that he trusted his mind and his emotions. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot trust your mind and your emotions. They'll lead you wrong. They'll lead you astray. Because he said, with your mind, it must be renewed. And he said, with your body, it must be put under. It must be presented as a sacrifice. You have to sacrifice that thing. Go with me to Acts chapter 21 and verse 10. Acts 21 and verse 10. I want to show you how you cannot trust your mind and emotions. We've seen it in Lot. We could talk about so many things in the Word. We could talk about Jonah. God said to Jonah, go to Nineveh. Jonah said, no. No, that don't feel right. I don't want to do that. I think I want to do something different. Well, that didn't end up too well for him. It became whale vomit. Yeah. I used to have a sermon in youth group called Don't Be a Puke. Jesus said, you know, they talk about vomit in the Bible. Jonah was vomited out because he did something that was in the wrong thing. Jesus said, when you're lukewarm, he said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. He said, when you're lukewarm, he said, I want to spew you or vomit you out of my mouth. He said, it makes his stomach upset. Yeah, don't be a puke. Amen, Pastor Mike. When you're a puke, you're stinky. You are. Acts 21 and verse 10. And as we tarried there, this is Luke writing this, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, so he's a prophet, stands in the prophet's ministry. A prophet is a seer. A true prophet stands in the office of a prophet is a seer. They see things into the future, see things into the spiritual realm. And when he was come unto one, he took Paul's girdle, his belt. So he takes Paul's belt from him, the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of this New Testament. And took the belt and bound his own hands and feet. So he takes Paul's girdle and binds himself with it. People are looking at him thinking, what are you doing? Thus says the Holy Ghost. Now he's going to prophesy what God is saying. Thus says the Holy Ghost. So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this girdle. And shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. So Agabus rips Paul's belt off, ties his own hands and feet, and says, what the Holy Ghost is saying, that the owner of this belt is going to be bound like this by the Jews and delivered into the hands of the Gentiles. Well, who owned the belt? Paul did. So he's prophesying that the Holy Ghost is saying, if you go forth, you're going to end up getting captured, bound, and delivered into the hands of the Gentiles. Well, when they see that happening, that alarms the people that love Paul, that care about Paul. And what did the people do that love and care about Paul? They do what most Christians do when they're passionate about a subject. They consult their mind and they consult their emotions. It's way too quiet in here. Listen, in Allegheny, it was a former Presbyterian church. Don't bring the Presbyterian back here. Now, I'm not down on the Presbyterian church, but I've been in the churches. I know they're quiet. They don't say a peep in there. You're allowed to be excited. Don't make me wake you up. Amen. But anyways, he says, Paul's going to be bound. He's going to be delivered. Well, Paul, and then what does it say in verse 12? When we heard these things, we consulted with the Holy Ghost and God in prayer about it. No. When we heard these things, both we and they of the place besought him or begged him, don't go to Jerusalem. Don't do it, Paul. Why? They saw what Agabus said would happen to him. Got into their mind. Now, were they loving and nice and kind? Absolutely. They didn't want Paul bound. But look what Paul said. Then Paul answered, what mean you to weep and break my heart? What's he say? He's saying, why are you doing this? Don't weep and break my heart about this. He says, I am ready not only to be bound, but to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, what you have to understand is, were the disciples right and the people right, or was Paul right? Well, see, Agabus prophesied it because he knew this is what's going to happen. Because it was God's will for Paul to go into Jerusalem. Because when Paul went into Jerusalem, if you read on, he was bound. Everything that Agabus prophesied happened, and he was delivered. But through the stages, remember the Holy Ghost said to Paul, you're going to declare my name for Gentiles, for kings. I mean, he said, you're going to do great things. This led to Paul preaching the gospel in front of Jews, officials, all the way up to King Agrippa. You study it out. If he doesn't go to Jerusalem, and that happened to him, he never gets to stand before Jesus or preach Jesus to King Agrippa and declare the gospel, which that's what Paul was doing. Now people say, man, Paul sure had a tough life. Yeah, but you see, the snowplow drivers have it harder than we do in the mornings because they're out plowing the roads. They plow the roads for us so we can go on a clean road. Paul was plowing through demonic things that we'll never have to plow through. And the Bible said that he was going to suffer great things for the name of Jesus. Why? Because there's an enemy. Now you do realize, as your pastor, I'm not in the position of Paul, but even as your pastor, there's things that we go through. And things that we struggle that the average sheep won't have to face and go through. It's biblical. Why? When you're out in front plowing the roads, there's things being fired at you. Yeah. On the front lines, it's true. It's absolutely truth. We see it in the Word with James and Peter in Acts chapter 6. The devil was after him and caused things. Now, thank God for faith and victory and for your prayers. Yeah, that just opened a door. If you love your pastor, you'll pray for your pastor. It's truth. If you love your pastor, you'll pray for your pastor. Because your pastor is here telling you, can't do it alone. I can't do it alone. There's no precedent in the Word that we do this by ourselves. No. Paul said, I need your prayers. I need your prayers. Well, if you really love me and love what I bring to your life and what we're doing around here, you'll spend time praying for me. And that's me being humble and telling you, I need your prayers. Amen. We see it in James. In Acts chapter 6, Acts chapter 12, James was taken captive and was killed. Peter was taken captive but wasn't killed. And the Bible said the only reason he wasn't killed was because the church prayed for him. Yeah. You could say it this way. A lot of times what a pastor goes through and doesn't go through is a direct result of you. Oh, that's a heavy load, isn't it? But it's true. Why did James die? Simply because, not because James didn't have faith, because the church didn't pray. I'm trying to tell you the role you have, how important you are. And like, I'm not belittling my role, but I'm trying to show you that, listen, I know I stand up here in front of you and preach, but this ain't a one-man show. Amen. No. We need your prayers, my God. We need your prayers. And if you love me, you'll pray for me. If you love me and my family, you'll pray for us. You'll pray for protection. You'll pray in the Holy Ghost for us. You'll pray blessings for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so here we have a situation where it was uncomfortable, where it was going to be hard and difficult. And what happened? The people that got into their minds and the people that got into their flesh, They didn't want to go with God, did they? No, they said, no. And Paul, the one going with God, said, it don't matter. It don't matter what my flesh is saying, what my, I'm going with the Holy Ghost. See, Lot looked up and saw easiness and goodness and assumed that must be the way. Oh, Christians do it all the time. Well, that job pays me more. Well, that person's good looking and they're nice to me. Come on, Pastor. Preach it, Pastor. I will. Well, that just feels good. That's got to be God. It feels good. Sodom and Gomorrah felt good. Sodom and Gomorrah looked good. And it was a bomb waiting to go off. Remember when the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 16 told Paul to go over to Macedonia in the vision? Paul went over there. When Paul went over there, cast the devil out of a girl. And the people that were controlling that girl and using her for their financial gain beat the snot out of Paul and Silas. Stripped them naked, threw them in jail and in prison. Well, Paul could be in prison thinking, oh, I missed God, because it was hard. No. Sometimes when you're doing things right is when it gets the hardest because the devil's not happy. And you want to know when hell on earth broke free in my life? When I started this church. You want to know when another time hell on earth started me? When I started Olean. Hell on earth just broke, ripped through my life. Why? Devil trying to get me to back off of that. No, I've learned too much. Know too much. Amen. And so you can't go by when it gets hard. If I'm telling what, if you go by when it gets hard, we wouldn't be here this morning. Because there's a lot of hard times in the storefront. There are times I'd drive into South East, I hate this place. I'd say it. I'd voice it out loud in the car. I can't stand being here. And I remember the pinnacle of that day. I was so frustrated, just in my flesh, you know. Walked into the post office to get some mail, and there's dog poop right in the walkway. Right on the floor in the post office. I said, I hate this town. I'm just telling you. That's what I felt in my flesh. Things were so hard in my life financially. Things were so hard in my life physically, in my mind, in the assaults and the torments. And I'd spend days and hours preaching and praying and show up, and there'd be a handful of people and a bunch of empty seats. The heat wouldn't work, you know. People complain. People giving me a hard time. All sorts of things. It was just hard. Well, thank God we didn't quit. And I'll tell you what, there were years of hard times in Olean as well. But now we're walking into the fruit of it. You can't go by what's easy, what's hard. You can't go by what feels good and what looks good. You got to go by the Holy Ghost. Because if they would have had it their way, they said, Paul, don't go. And Paul's plan wouldn't have been able to. Thank God Paul didn't get into his mind and his emotions. So are you ready to learn this now of how God leads? Then, Pastor, how do I know? If it looks good or feels good, or if it, and it might not be God, or if it looks hard and it looks like it might be a challenge and it could be God. I mean, God told me to start a church and quit my job and get $2,000 short a month, every month, financially. He told me to do that. Well, that's hard. That's not easy. What makes a person go through and do that? Well, that's why I want to help you. And it led to blessing. It always leads to blessing. Remember when God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 18? God said, take your son and kill him. Take him up on a mountain and kill him. You tell me if that was easy. You tell me if that was a hard leading, hard direction from him. He only waited for that boy for 25 years. And now God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and get up on the mountain and sacrifice him for me. Abraham said, let's go, son. Whew. He didn't want Isaac to be killed. God didn't end up killing Isaac. And at the end of that, what did it say? Because you have obeyed my voice. What did he say? I know it was hard and it looked difficult, but because you did this, you're walking into a harvest you couldn't make for yourself. Amen. God told the woman in 1 Kings 17, give me your last meal. Give me your last meal. I know it looks hard. I know it doesn't feel right. But if you learn to follow God, it'll lead you into a harvest you can't make on your own. That's what happened to these people. So go with me to Colossians 3 and verse 15. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. This stuff will not only just save your life, it'll change your finances. It'll change everything. Following the Holy Ghost. God's plan for you is not to spin your wheels. It's not for you year after year to struggle financially. If you're spinning your wheels year after year and you're struggling financially year after year, Houston. Houston. Come on, help me out. We have a problem. That's not the good life. That's not the abundant life. That's not heaven on earth. Now, I'm not saying seasons of tests, but lifestyle of tests is not what God's called you to. And he's offered you a way out, if you'll learn it. Colossians 3 and verse 15. Now remember, he said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's where the Holy Ghost is. Remember, the spirit of a man is the can of the Lord, searching the inward parts of the belly. This is the region where the Holy Ghost dwells, the center of a man, the belly of a man. It says, and let the peace of God rule or reign in your heart. Proverbs 3, or 20:27. The candle of the Lord, the spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord, all the inward parts of the belly. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now he's telling you, let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which you are also called in one body, and be thankful. Now, I want to bring this up more clear. In the Amplified, Heather, if you would. And let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ's rule. Now this is what you need to get. Look at in parentheses what it says. Let peace in your heart act like an umpire. Doing what? In your hearts, deciding and settling. What's it saying? The peace is the final answer. With all finality, all questions that arise in your minds in a peaceful state. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Where do I go? How do I get out? So I guess it says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. It says, let peace act as the umpire. Now, let me give you a little story. I used to play baseball. And in 1996, I was a junior in Jamestown High School baseball team. And there was a game against, I believe it was North Tonawanda. And it was the end of the game, and we were down by two runs, or not down by one run. We had a runner on second and third base with two outs. So if we get a hit, most likely, I remember the guy in second was a fast runner. He's probably going to come around and score. The guy in third is going to score. We're going to win the game. And our guy hits a little shallow blooper, is what you call it, into center field. And their center fielder runs in and dives and makes an amazing catch. But the umpire saw it different. Now, we were all discouraged because we thought he caught it, the game's over, three outs. The umpire said the ball hit the ground. Our guys came around and scored. Well, it was clearly a catch. I don't know if he was just doing it on purpose, or I don't know if he just couldn't see because it was such an amazing catch, but it was clear he caught it. And the umpire said, safe, ball hit the ground. Two runs came in, scored. North Tonawanda's going crazy. So much so they're throwing their gloves around the field. Well, we had a young guy, you'd have to know him to really appreciate this story, who was the announcer who would announce when people would come up to bat. That's all his job was for the PA, was, and now batting so-and-so. That's all the freedom he had. But when this happened, he hit on, and he started calling play-by-play over the loudspeaker what everybody was doing on the field, and he's like, Tonawanda's throwing their gloves. This is unbelievable. A high school game. And it's going throughout the stadium. It's just dousing gasoline on that fire. And I'm laughing at him. And all of a sudden, he's up there just talking. And it was like his dream to be this play-by-play guy. All of a sudden, I hear, I see him getting yanked off the microphone up in the press box. Because he's calling it all. Oh, look at number nine throwing. Oh, he's kicking dirt. Look at the coach. He's in the umpire's face. I mean, he's just calling it out. A loudspeaker. Now, if you're on the radio, yes, but you don't do that over the PA system. That's a true story. But here's my point. It didn't matter what it looked like. Didn't matter what it felt like. Didn't matter what anybody thought. The umpire said, safe. Guess what was the final result? Safe. Why? The umpire said so. What's the Bible telling you? Let peace in your heart act as the umpire. What's that mean? When the umpire says no, no matter what it feels like, no matter what it looks like, no matter what your opinions are, no matter how strong you feel about something, if the umpire says no, it's no. If the Holy Ghost says yeah, no matter how bad it looks, no matter how hard it looks, no matter how tough it looks, if the umpire says yes, it's yes. The best example I can give you from my own life So what am I trying to say? God leads by peace. God leads by peace. What does Isaiah 55 verse 12 say? They shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. How's he going to lead? Peace. You know how the Holy Ghost leads? Peace in your heart. Peace in your heart, not your head and your flesh. Now you might say, Pastor, how the heck do I know if it's my head or my heart or my flesh? That's what we're going to find out next week. You know you can put yourself in a position to know when it's God's voice, because a lot of people say, I don't know if it's me. I don't know if it's peace. I don't know if it's my head. Oh, there's ways to find it. God didn't leave you answerless. I'll tell you exactly how to find out next week. That's my little carrot to dangle to get you back here. Because you need to hear it. Hallelujah. January 10th, 2002, I get born again. Sometime in that year, I had given my heart to Jesus. What I mean that by that is I made him my Lord, not just my Savior. I said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want. He said, okay. It was a short time after that. He told me to go to Bible school in Oklahoma. He said, go to Rhema Bible Training Center. Go to Rhema is what I heard. Well, the semester had already started. I didn't know if he meant just go visit the school or the church or go to school there. So I went to Winter Bible Seminar for Brother Hagin's last Winter Bible Seminar in February of 2003. He passed away in September of 2003. And I went in February of 2003. I got to hear Brother Hagin. And when I was there, I obeyed God. I knew I was supposed to go there. I went there, and I knew that's not the only reason I'm there. I'm supposed to come back to school in the fall. So I got my answer, you know. So all summer, you know, that's the summer that I'm with my dad, and we're working out at a gym in Pennsylvania. It's a church that has a gym, and I'm working out. And I'm also doing things with some of their youth kids, you know, and helping in different things. And just always, to brag, I just always had been a natural with kids, you know. Love being around them, have fun. They have fun when they're around me and things like that. And that was the way it was back then. And he saw it and picked up on that and knew that I was called to ministry because I had developed a relationship with him. He's the same pastor that told me that God's not a healer. And so he's trying to talk me out of going to this Bible school. And so here's what you have to know. Pastor Mike Anderson going to Rhema is not 2 years off of in my past when I had quit 26 jobs in 2 years. 26 jobs in 2 years, right? That's what we counted. No integrity, no character. 26 jobs in 2 years in 4 or 5 different colleges and different majors. Some I'd go back to the same colleges, change my major. I was lost. I didn't know what to do. Seeking, you know? And so I to go to Rhema, when I all of a sudden get the revelation, I'm supposed to be a preacher. Yeah, you think my family wanted to hear that? After all that I've put them through? All the quitting, all the jobs I've quit, all the schools I dropped out of, all the student loan money I wasted on motorcycles and trips to Colorado, the Rocky Mountains, true story. You think they're going to help me when all of a sudden Mike's going to be a preacher? Yeah, right. They didn't. So I had no money to go there. I had a 1990 Nissan pickup with at least 200, over 200, I can't remember at the time, 200,000 miles, rust through the whole thing, terrible, terrible shape, had hardly held a good job. I had finally worked at a convenience store. It was the first job I actually had kept, as when I got born again, it didn't feel right to quit jobs anymore, and I was faithful. And so I worked at this convenience store, and that's where I heard, you know, that's where I gave my heart to the Lord, was on the way to that job at like 5, 4 o'clock in the morning. I can't remember what time I had to open the store, but anyways. So the Lord tells me to go to Rhema. Well, my family's not going to help me. I don't have any money. So I have to go there, pay my own way, tuition, and I got to get a full-time job or I'm not going to be able to make it. So we're talking about going from 0 to 60 of unfaithful to having to be faithful in life real fast. Time to grow up, Mike. Right? So I knew I was dating her, had to leave everything that was comfortable. I had just in 2002, or 2001 it was in college, gotten into archery hunting and became obsessed with it, loved it. Well, in Oklahoma, it ain't like it is here. Had to give that up in a relationship, my family, money, all these things. Was hard for me to go there. And when I got there, I got sicker than I'd ever been before in my life. Financially, things went to kaputs. I don't know what that means, but I heard it once in a movie. I don't think it's good. I hope it's not a swear word in some other language. If it is, I repent. Anyways, Everything went downhill, we'll say. Down the drain. Got sick. But anyways, before I went. So I'm staring down the barrel. The Lord says to do something, and it's hard. My mind can't stand it. My flesh can't stand it. And the preacher comes along, and he says to me, "Hey, Mike, you don't need to go to that school. That's kind of a waste to go 18 hours away, isn't it? That's how long it takes to drive there." He said, "That's kind of a waste, isn't it?" He said, I got an offer for you. He said, "We got a Bible school that's affiliated with our church just a few hours up the road on I-90. He said, "No, they don't teach about the Holy Ghost. They don't teach about healing. They don't teach about faith. They don't teach about prosperity." It would have been the worst decision of my life. I learned so much under the school at Brother Hagin's and in the things and the tests that I had to navigate through. And he said, "If you'll go to that Bible school, we'll pay the whole thing for you." Ooh, you talk about sounding sweet. He said, "We'll give you money to live on. We don't want you to work when you're there because we want you just to spend time studying." I mean, this deal's getting sweeter and sweeter. This is what he's telling me. He says, you can come home on the weekends. Come back to everything you're comfortable with. Come back to everything that you know. You have to be in Oklahoma. You can't do that in Oklahoma. And he said, "When you get out of Bible school, we'll sign, if you pass Bible school and get out of there and do good there, we'll sign a contract before you go that tells you that when you come back from this Bible school, I will make you the full-time paid benefits, vacation, youth leader of my church." True story. Now you tell me what sounded the best. Free school, no having to work, extra money to live on, come home on the weekends, a full-time job with benefits waiting for me after I get out of this Bible school. Or go off into the no man's land of Tulsa, Oklahoma, with no money, having to go to school full-time, get a job full-time. And I did. Reese's Deli, my boss's name was Squeaky. That's her name. I don't know what her real name was, but her name tag said Squeaky, and I called her Squeaky. That was my boss. Full-time job every day. I was so broke there that I struggled in the winter with my mind of putting the heat on, didn't I? Didn't want to put the heat on. Didn't want to have to pay for it. I was so broke. And here at home, all this waited for me. Say, what in the world, Pastor, would cause you to be able to discern peace in my heart? Because when I prayed and meditated and thought about going to the Bible school in New York, oh, it sounded great here. It sounded great here. But in here, it was like, ew. Yuck. Ugh. Ugh. You know what I'm talking about, right? It's that same feeling you'd get if I said, "Let's go down and rob the Super Duper." That don't seem right. Yuck, Pastor Mike. You know that yucky feeling. And then when I thought about going to Rhema in Oklahoma, this fought me. And this fought me. But in here, it was the sweetest, sweetest thing. And I knew God. I knew how to follow God. And as we go in this series, we're going to close this up here in a second. We're going to learn some of these stories and things. God's leading by peace. Now, here's the problem with peace. It's not a problem, but it's a problem for people. Peace is not spectacular. There's nothing firework-ish about peace in your heart. But it is 100% supernatural. It's how God leads 99.9% of the time is He'll lead and direct by peace in your heart. He doesn't lead by angels. He doesn't lead by Jesus appearing to you. I had somebody, this was years ago, they were selling a property, selling a business, and it caught me off guard. I said, "I didn't know they were selling that." And I went and talked to them. I said, "You're selling this?" They were Christians. I said, "You're selling this property?" They said, "Well, I'm putting out a fleece." I said, "Putting out a fleece? That's a biblical term in the Old Testament." I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Well, we have a for sale sign up. And if it sells, we know that was God's will. And if it doesn't, we know it wasn't God's will." And I thought to myself, that's not how God leads. That was a story with Gideon over in Judges chapter 6 where he wanted to be sure that God was on their side. And he said, "Lord, I'm going to lay out a fleece. And if you're with us, the fleece will be completely dry, but the ground will be completely soaked," which would be impossible. It would be a sign and a wonder. "If you're with us, make the ground wet and the fleece dry." And he woke up and the ground was wet and the fleece was dry. He said, "Lord, I don't mean to bother you again, but I just need to be sure." He said a second time, now this time, Lord, make the fleece soaking wet, but make the ground dry. Or it could have been vice versa, one before the other. I'm not sure which one was first, but you get my point. And it was. The fleece was soaked and the ground was dried. He knew God was with him. So this person was laying out their fleece, put their for sale sign up, said, no, that's not how God leads in the New Testament. Oh, people all the time say, it was God, the pay is more. This is from God, they're cute. I'm just telling you what I've seen, what I've experienced. Oh, this is God, it's easier. It might be God and it might be easier, but it might be harder at first. And if you go by what's easier and if you're going by your flesh and your mind, oh man, oh man. So next week, because I showed you how God's going to lead, He's leading by peace in your heart. Next week, we're going to learn how to position ourselves to hear from Him. Because when you're in a tough spot, guess what's going to be loud? This and this. And guess what's going to be hard to hear if you don't know? This. This is going to be hard in here. Because this is loud and this is loud. But He's leading out of here. He's not leading here in your flesh. And He's not leading here. We got to learn how to do it. Oh, I'm pumped for next week. Are you pumped for next week? Okay, I'm taking stock. Y'all better be here. Who's here? That's in my head. I know. I'm not going to forget. You said you were pumped. This stuff will change and save your life. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for helping us today. Thank you for helping us today, Lord. We praise the name of Jesus. Lord, we magnify you, Lord. We know that there are times and situations, circumstances where, boy, we don't know what to do, or we don't know how to get out of something, or we're struggling. But Lord, you have every answer, and we find out today how you're leading the majority of the time. You said that we let peace rule, or be the decider, the question settler in our heart is peace. But Lord, I do recognize that at times it's hard for people to discern what's their mind, what's their flesh, and what's peace. So thank you, Father, for next week and for what we're going to share next week. But Lord, I pray that today people would get this revelation. Peace, peace, peace. Peace is good enough. Well, I want something more. No, peace is good enough. Peace is all you need because it's from Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise the name of Jesus. Now, Father, I know as I have looked around this room and this message that we are all born again, walking with you, all have accepted Jesus. But, Lord, there might be people listening online right now that have never made Jesus their Lord, or listening in the future by the archive that have never made Jesus their Lord. Father, I pray that they would not pass from this life until they've accepted Jesus. Now, if you are one of those people and you're listening, you say, I've never received Jesus. The Bible says that He's the only way to heaven. He's the only way to God. He made a way for you. It's Jesus. And it's not that you just acknowledge that there's a Jesus, or that you just even believe that there's a Jesus. The Bible says you must believe and receive Him into your heart. So if you're listening, you'd say, I've never received Jesus, but I do believe in Him. Then simply just cry out to Him and say, Lord Jesus, I believe you're real. I believe you died. I believe you rose again. And I ask you to come into my heart. I make you my Lord and my Savior. That prayer would be a prayer of believing and receiving. And He said, I'll come in and save you. I won't leave you nor forsake you. And then your next step. Now listen, this is very important. Your next step. If you want to enjoy the benefits of heaven on earth, you can go to heaven without doing what I'm about to say. But if you want the fullness of what God has for you, you need to plant in a Bible-teaching church. That's just no other way around it. With a shepherd that will teach you the Word, that will show you what the Bible says, how to navigate through your life. That's how you live the abundant life. Father, we're just so grateful and so thankful for all that you've done today. Can we stand to our feet and worship Him together? Now, I mean worship Him. Not just stand there and hope Pastor Mike gets... I mean worship God. The Bible says that worship is with our lips, with our hands, lifting our hands in the sanctuary and blessing the Lord, giving Him a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips. That's how we worship Him. Again, worship isn't how you think or what's comfortable to you or how you would do it. Worship is what He likes. And the Word says we worship Him with our hands and with our mouth. We praise you, Lord. We magnify you. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. We declare our lives will never be the same. No matter what's brought us to this point this morning, we're going forward different. We're going forward more skillful, more trained in the things of God. And we thank you that will equate to the best days of the rest of our lives. You want that for us, Father. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Don't forget fellowship, and don't forget Wednesday night, 6:30, you're dismissed.